From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 112 and verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Christian, you ought not to dread the arrival of evil tidings, because if you are distressed by them, what do you more than other men? Other men have not your God to fly to. They have never proved His faithfulness as you have done, and it is no wonder if they are bowed down with alarm and cowed with fear. But you profess to be of another spirit. You have been begotten again unto a lively hope, and your heart lives in heaven and not in earthly things. Now, if you are seen to be distracted as other men, what is the value of that grace which you profess to have received? Where is the dignity of that new nature which you claim to possess? Again, if you should be filled with alarm, as others are, you would doubtless be led into the same sins common to others under trying circumstances. The ungodly, when they are overtaken by evil tidings, rebel against God. They murmur and think that God deals hardly with them. Will you fall into that same sin? Will you provoke the Lord as they do? Moreover, unconverted men often run to wrong means in order to escape from difficulties. And you will be sure to do the same if your mind yields to the present pressure. Trust in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Your wisest course is to do as Moses did at the Red Sea. Stand still and see the salvation of God. For if you give way to fear when you hear of evil tidings, you will be unable to meet the trouble with that calm composure which nerves for duty and sustains under adversity. How can you glorify God if you play the coward? Saints have often sung God's high praises in the fires, but will your doubting and desponding, as if you had none to help you, magnify the Most High? Then take courage, and relying in sure confidence upon the faithfulness of your covenant God, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Sufficient is is the same. Our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while our life shall last. O God, our help, our hope, and our eternal hope. O God, our help in ages past.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues his exposition of Paul's epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message called An Inspired Portrait of the Gospel Ministry. Chapter 15 of Romans provides a rare biographical insight into Paul's life and ministry. The content of Paul's preaching was Christ, his person and work. Then it was a successful ministry, not because of the number of churches he established, but because Christ was glorified and sinners were saved. Paul's ministry spread over much of the then-known world because his vision to reach souls burned brightly, even in his old age. Significantly, it was a supported ministry, upheld by the gifts and prayers of God's people. Finally, it was a salutary ministry, reminding believers of God's never-failing presence with them. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, An Inspired Portrait of the Gospel Ministry.
For Paul, the ministry had to be a missionary ministry, or it was no ministry at all. That's the biblical standard. Acts 1, verse 8. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the standard. And that's the standard for this congregation. And that's the standard for this denomination. If we become a self-satisfied, sanctimonious, inward-looking little group, we will amount to nothing. Precisely nothing in the service of the King. But oh, give us a vision. Give us a vision. I well remember in the early days of the Free Church in Northern Ireland, and Dr. Paisley and a few of his men would come up to our little church for our late night, Friday night men's prayer meeting. Truth to tell, I was more intimidated by him than anything else. But this big, gangly preacher, big in this direction, in those days not in this direction, this big, gangly preacher with a voice that could shake heaven and make hell to tremble, and me along with it, he would come. And he used to pray through various passages of Scripture. And he would take what God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread on, I'll give it to you. And then he would stop and cry out, God, give me big feet. Well, God answered his prayer before he prayed it. Give me big feet, that I may walk this world and claim it for God. Oh, for a vision. Oh, for a recognition that we have no ministry at all unless it be a spreading ministry, growing not only locally but even to the ends of the earth. I will speak very briefly on the fact that it was verses 30 to 32 a supported ministry. Paul knew that in Jerusalem he was going to face formidable obstacles to his whole vision and mission. But Paul also knew that the prayers of God's people prevailed with God. And therefore, he involved the whole church in his work. He says, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Why would you do that? Because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love that His Spirit has shed abroad in your heart. Man, this is simply saying what He's been saying all through these chapters. If you believe this gospel, then be involved in it. He's saying to these people in Rome, many of them did travel a lot, and many of them were actually thrown out of Rome, and they had to go wherever they could, and they used the opportunity to preach the gospel. But He's saying, you may not be able to follow me in all my travels. You may not be able personally to participate in all my labors, but you can strive together in the place of prayer. What a vision of what it is to have a church of prayer. Here's a proper church prayer meeting, by the way. It's not some sleepy-headed gathering of people who'd rather be at home watching some dumb soap opera. It's people who are here for Christ's sake, because of the love of the Spirit shed abroad in their hearts, and they're entering into mighty spiritual warfare, and they are striving with God for the success of His ministry. I say what I've said many a time. I have been a Free Presbyterian a very long time, longer than I care to remember. And nobody knows better that this entire ministry was built on prayer meetings just like that, where we didn't gather to regale each other with how well we could pray. We didn't gather to tell God what He already knew about theological niceties. We gathered to pour out our hearts in fervent supplication, that God would bless the message and the ministry. This church must have a supporting role in the ministry of the gospel, striving with him. They would refresh themselves and they would refresh him, just as his ministry would do for them. The very last verse could be overlooked. But what it says is that a true gospel ministry will be a salutary ministry. Now, and this is his final word to them in this chapter, the God of peace be with you all. In other words, Paul prays for them as he invited them to pray for him. And he confers a benediction. It's interesting, this is the third benediction in chapter 15. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God, literally, of endurance and encouragement, gives you the true fellowship and unity of the gospel. That was Paul's prayer for Rome. It's my prayer for this church. Then verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope give you the true fruits of the gospel. And now verse 33. The God of peace be with you always, or with you all. The God of peace give you the true fullness of the gospel. What is that? Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. The Lord is with you. The presence of the God of peace. You know, give us the presence of the God of peace, and you'll not necessarily have Christians who never have differences, but you'll have Christians who know how to deal with those differences. Give us the presence of the God of peace, and you'll not have Christian at the throat of another Christian. You'll not have rancor and division and anger and bitterness. Give us the presence of the God of peace, and you will live in the very fullness of the gospel. I have told you before, when I was a very young preacher, I had the honor of welcoming to my little country church in Kebra, before it became the larger church in Ballymoney, and the privilege of welcoming one of the greatest preachers in the world, Willie Mullen, a great Baptist preacher. Willie preached as few men had the gift to preach. There was a great sense of the Lord's presence in the meeting that night. However, there was no public response. There was no indication of anyone being saved through that wonderful message. And I've never forgot what Willie Mullen said to me, just starting out, as it were. He said, "Brother, we had the Lord's presence here tonight. That's all we need." In other words, just let the Lord be there, and he'll do everything right, and everything else will follow. The God of peace be with us. Now, what I've given you tonight is God's description of a vital gospel ministry. What I've given you tonight is the ministry that Paul exercised. But all what I've given you tonight is the burden of my heart for this church and for this denomination. To attain to such a ministry, we have to grasp Paul's message, the doctrine that he expounds throughout the book of Romans. It's only as we learn that message that we live in its light. But oh, it's not just to learn the message. It is to be so moved by the message, be so consumed by the gospel, that we will, as he says in verse 14 here, be full of goodness and filled with knowledge, and therefore fitted to maintain and pursue a vital gospel ministry. May God make it so, for his name's sake. Let us pray. Just a moment, the meeting will be over. I trust that there are young Christians here tonight. Not only young Christians, but older Christians as well. As I said, Paul was not a young man when he said these things. I trust there will be believers here tonight who will honestly, even now as you're bowed in prayer, cry out to God, "Lord, grip my heart by this great gospel. Let the fullness and glory of its message grip my soul. Lord, I want to live by the gospel, for the gospel. I want, as a child of God, to know and do the will of God." I trust there are Christians here tonight, and especially you young men. I emphasize the young men because there seems to be such a dearth of vital godliness among so many professing young male Christians across the country. I trust that you young men will cry out to God, "Lord, take my life. I want to serve you in any way you will. Grip me. Direct me. And use me. And wherever you lead me, I will follow. Where you sent me, I will go. Give me a vital gospel ministry." And as a church tonight, let us rededicate ourselves to this work of the gospel. Let us not have a name without the substance, without the reality. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. Lord, we pray, make this ministry a real vital gospel ministry. Lord, we pray that thou wilt make it successful in the terms in which we have read in the Word of God this evening. O Lord, do a work here that will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, do a work here that will result in lives sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Lord, do a work here that will bear the stamp of the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Do this throughout our churches. Yea, Lord, go far beyond this little grouping of thy people and visit the church of God with revival. Save us from the trivialities of the day in which we live, and grant us the eternal realities of the gospel and its power. We thank thee for this sacred ministry. Lord, call, commission, and commit men to it, we pray. We long that from this very body thou wilt raise up a race of pioneers who at whatever cost, will go to do a great work for God. Hear our prayer. Part us with thy very richest blessing. Grant that thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace will be our abiding portion, both tonight and until our Lord Jesus Christ either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray these things, giving thee our thanks, in Jesus' name, and through the merits of his most precious blood. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.